believe that was an order, sister. I want to preach this morning or this evening. I've told you I was supposed to preach this morning what I was supposed to preach this evening, what I thought I was supposed to preach this evening. Isaiah chapter 53. I want to preach on this thought. Calvary covers it all. Feel very strongly. I told Remington this morning when I got here, I said, I feel very strongly that I'm supposed to say welcome to the evening service, to the morning crowd. I'll ask if you will please stand to your feet. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Calvary covers it all. Father, now would you fill us, use us, help us, Lord, to preach in the power of the Spirit of God. For this I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It has often been said that Isaiah, with his 66 chapters, is a miniature Bible. The first 39 chapters represent the Old Testament, which represents judgment. And then the remaining part of the book of Isaiah will deal with the New Testament, and it deals with grace. And we know that Isaiah in chapter 53, his name means salvation of the Lord Jehovah. He is prophesying right after this time of judgment that's come upon the earth. He is prophesying of Calvary. He's seeing the great impact that Jesus Christ would make upon mankind. And he penned these words over 700 years before Christ was ever born. When I think about the prophecies of Calvary, when Jesus died, just his death on the cross, 30 prophecies in the Old Testament were fulfilled. In the New Testament, Philip, one day out in the wilderness, he ran and attached himself to a chariot where an Ethiopian eunuch was riding by. And he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?"
He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And the place that he read was where Jesus was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And this is this very chapter. Simon Peter preached on Calvary. In Acts chapter 2, he said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Paul preached about the death of Jesus Christ upon Calvary. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul never got past the fact that Jesus loved him so much that he gave his life on the cross and he rose again. I think about the pain of Calvary. Look in verse 2. It speaks about the humble beginning of our Savior. Jesus would grow up as a root out of dry ground. Oh, how there would be struggle there. Imagine a root drying up, growing up out of dry ground. Remember, when he came to the end there, there was no room for him at the end. And he had to be born in a manger. The Bible says he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, he's got a hidden beauty. When the world looks at him, he's ugly. When the world looks at him, they want nothing to do with him. But honey, if you've been saved, if you've been redeemed, when you look at Jesus, you see a love like no other. Hey, man, what a hidden beauty. I think about how he was horrifically brutalized. The Bible says in verse number 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. Wounded, what does that mean? Things that are outward, things that are visible, that's wounds. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Bruised, that's things internal, things invisible that are going on that you cannot see. No matter the depth this morning, whether it's visible or invisible, whether the depth of your sin, Calvary covers it all. Whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's seen or hidden, Calvary covers it all. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We know that the Jews may beat somebody with 39 stripes, but this is not the Jews delivering the beating. This is the Romans, how they beat him, brutalized him, bludgeoned him, slapped him through the face, blood running down on his body as they took that cat of nine tails and beat him with that Roman legionnaire as he beat him and beat him and beat him. And at least 351 inches of cuts all over his body. He bled and his flesh hung like ribbons. You could see his backbone, his hip bone. And yet he could allow the beating to go on because he knew he was taking my beating and your beating. The beating for my sin, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I think about the pain of Calvary. Not only the prophecy and the pain of Calvary, I think about the power of Calvary. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. Now, personally this morning, I've never been to the Holy Land. Many of you here at the church, you've been to Israel. You've seen Golgotha. You've seen the empty tomb. Praise God. I've never got to go. I've not been physically, but I went spiritually. Amen. On July 13th, 1978, he saved my sin-sick soul by his work on the cross and by his victory over death, his empty grave. And there's been many a time, even this morning, I took some time this morning to go to Calvary and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvary makes the difference. He'll take the bottle out of a drunkard's hand and put a Bible in his hand. Calvary can take the money out of a gambler's hand and make that man become a giver to the house of God. Look with me closely in verse 3. The Bible said he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I think, first of all, Calvary covers it all. It covers, number one, our sorrow. Sorrow is identified as affliction, agony, pain, grief, heartache, heartbreak, misery, mourning, trouble, weeping. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and he gave his life. He suffered and gave the acceptable offering that our sorrow might be taken away from us. Hey, many of you have felt the sorrow of this world. You have experienced tragedy. And animal blood could never take away your sorrow. And animal blood could never take away your grief or your sickness or your suffering. But when Jesus died and shed his blood and saved your soul, your sorrow has been taken away and it's been covered. You may say, Preacher Darren, I still have worldly sorrow. I still feel the pain and the effects. Well, honey, you just hang on then. There's coming a day you'll never know sorrow again. You'll never know pain or misery again. You'll say goodbye, devil. Goodbye, world. Goodbye, heartache. Goodbye, heartbreak. You'll never have another misunderstanding again. There'll never be another broken family. Jesus took your load. Jesus took your burden upon his body, and they nailed him on the tree. The Bible says in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him up from death, he was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Number one, Calvary covers our sorrow. That excites my soul. Number two, the Bible says in verse 5, he was wounded, which is outward wounds, visible wounds, for our transgressions. What is transgression? It is sin. Calvary, number two, has covered all our sin. Our transgression is defiant disobedience against God. It's looking an authority in the face and saying, no, I'll not do what you say. No, I'll not humble myself down. He was bruised for our iniquities, bruised internal injuries, invisible things for our iniquities. What is iniquity? Distortion. It's a gross term. It means perversion, things that are corrupt, things that are twisted. Look at that little preposition. He was wounded for. He was bruised for. What does that mean? In our place. Let me say it like this. He was wounded for Darren's transgression. He was bruised for Darren's iniquities. He died in my place and in your place. The holy, sinless Son of God died in the place of a wicked sinner. Oh, what a Savior this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. May I say, his hands were nailed for my wicked works. His feet were nailed for my wicked walk. His head was bruised for my wicked ways. His face was beaten for my wicked words. The Bible will read this. You turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. You won't like what I'm going to read. At 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 9. The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, amen, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, were. That's past tense. It didn't say, and such are some of you. It says were, past tense, the old man, but you are washed, present tense. You are sanctified, present tense. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, no longer are you fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. You were those things, but you're not anymore. Why? Because Calvary has covered it all. Jesus, one day, as he was walking there into the water, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." My outward sins, those things that are visible, drinking, drugs, prostitution, murderers, thieves, and our inward sins, sins by nature, sins by choice, lust and greed, sins by practice. All my sins were laid in him and they were laid on him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Calvary covers all our sin. In verse number 5, the Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Stripes speak of shame. That means to be beaten for something, some wrong that you've committed. You think back to some things that you've done, things that you're forgiven of, things you're ashamed of. Things this morning, if we put it on the screen, you'd hang your head and cry. But remember, he said in Hebrews 10:17 that your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. He was stripped. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was mutilated. He was spit upon. He was openly shamed to take away our shame. Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. May I ask you a question? I'll need you to answer. Have you ever been shamed? Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever had somebody turn their back on you? They seen you and wouldn't even talk to you, turn their back. Hey, David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:11, because Calvary took away my shame, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. This world, your family, your so-called friends may be ashamed of you, but honey, this morning, Jesus is not ashamed of you. Why? Because Calvary has covered your sin. Calvary has covered your sorrow. Calvary has covered your shame. Praise God for it. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. You know what that means? Our sins have separated us from the Lord. The Lord, it says down here at the end of the verse, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7 says, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. I looked this up in Matthew 27:31, Mark 15:20, Luke 23:32, and Acts 8:32. It speaks about Jesus being led to Calvary. He's bearing the cross. The soldiers are leading him to Calvary. Isaiah said he would be brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Watch this. And as a sheep before her shearers. Is that wrong? That pronoun her didn't say his. It said her. You see the gender there? You know why that's true? A male sheep will try to get away. He'll try to fight you and resist you. But a female sheep will always submit and surrender to the shepherd's hand. Jesus is as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. Jesus said in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Jesus on that cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken that we would not have to be forsaken. I was helping coach a little baseball team. A lot of young men on the team, about 10 and 11 years old. And I was helping to coach them. And we were a decent little team. And some of the boys, you know, they're in the dugout and their parents are up in the stands. And one of the little boys, he gets up to bat. And as he comes out there, he's got that little flap down by his ear. But as he looks at that pitcher, he throws it in and it hits him right on his cheekbone. You could hear the slap of it. And he fell on the ground, dropped his bat, and began to scream. This is what he screamed. I come running out of the dugout as his coach, straight to where he was. I couldn't believe I couldn't have took a shot like that. And I grabbed him up and he said, Daddy! Daddy! That's what he wanted. And I said, somebody go get his daddy down there in the stands. And they searched all through the stands. His daddy decided to drop him off and go to Walmart and not watch him play that day. On the very day that little boy needed his daddy had forsaken him. The day our Savior hung on Calvary, when he was made sin for us, the Father had to turn his back so as not to have to look upon sin. He was forsaken so that you and I wouldn't have to be forsaken. So that you and I, Calvary, covered my shame and my sin, and it covered my separation from God. He was forsaken so you and I would never have to be forsaken. That you and I could be accepted in the Beloved. I got one more and I'm done. In verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked. He's speaking of the grave. And with the rich in his death. We know that he was buried in the rich man Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. But it was a borrowed tomb, a new tomb, and he wasn't going to need it very long. I think about how Calvary has taken away our sting. The sting of death. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:54, I'm talking to somebody today. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Right now I have loved ones that death tries to reason with me that I have taken them away. My cold, icy hand has taken them away. You'll never see them again. Hey, for me, spiritually, I was dead in trespasses and in sins. I was on my way to a devil's hell. But when Jesus gave his life and took my death upon himself, when he was buried and rose again on that first day of the week, Calvary took away my spiritual death. And Calvary, though I may have physical death and experience physical death in my family, or I may experience it personally, honey, you play this back. I'll not be dead. I'll be praising God while the ages roll on. Calvary has took away the sting of death in my life. You see this morning, Calvary covers our sorrow. Calvary covers our sin. Calvary covers our shame. Calvary covers our separation. Calvary covers our sting. Look with me in Isaiah 54, next chapter. Next chapter, look at verse 1. Sing, O barren, that's talking about you and I, Gentiles, the church, thou that didst not bear.
What does that mean? And cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. What does that mean? If you've been to Calvary, he's give you a song. You see, when I was dead in trespasses and sins, I couldn't sing. I couldn't praise him. I had nothing to give him. Didn't want nothing to do with him. But Calvary covered it all, and he gave me a new song. Revelation 5:9. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hear me. God has given us a song that the angels cannot sing. So if you'll just bear with me for a moment. There's some today you've lost hope. There's some today you feel like you've lost your way. There's some today the devil, he's trying to speak to you, and the flesh tries to reason. Don't you believe that, preacher? Don't you believe those words? And it's trying to take your hope away. But I'm here to tell you this morning, honey, Calvary has covered it all. If your problem is addiction, adultery, affections, anger, attitude, Calvary has covered it all. Backbiters, bitterness, blasphemous, boasters, brawlers, Calvary has covered it all. Chambering, coldness, callousness, complaining, covetousness, cursing, Calvary has covered it all. Defrauding, doubting, defiled, diseased, disobedient, deceitful, depraved, Calvary has covered it all. Envy, evil, emptiness, enmity, effeminate, Calvary has covered it all. Fear, failure, flops, foolishness, fornication, Calvary has covered it all. Guilt, grief, greed, grudges, giants in your life, Calvary has covered it all. Hardness of heart, hatred, haughtiness, hypocrisy, high-mindedness, Calvary has covered it all. Iniquity, indictment, idolatry, inordinate affection, idle words, Calvary has covered it all. Judging, jealousy, Calvary has covered it all. Lying, lust, lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, Calvary has covered it all. Murmuring, misery, mocking, meanness, mischievousness, maliciousness, Calvary has covered it all. Even murder, past problems, prejudice, pride, predicaments, presumption, Calvary has covered it all. Rioting, rebellion, revelry, reproach, regrets, roughness of spirit, Calvary has covered it all. Strife, sin, shame, sorrow, struggles, self-will, Calvary has covered it all. Troubles, trials, torment, tears, being a traitor, Calvary has covered it all. Unbelief, ungodliness, unholiness, unthankfulness, unfaithfulness, unmercifulness, unforgiving hearts, Calvary has covered it all. Vileness, vulgarity, violence, variance, Calvary has covered it all. Whisperers, wickedness, waywardness, wretchedness, witchcraft, wrath, from A to Z, Z is zero. There's not one thing that Calvary cannot cover. He has covered it all. So whatever you're struggling with today, from the start of this service, songs about the cross, from the start of this service, the Spirit of God wooing, trying to encourage you, trying to point us just for a few minutes away from your struggles, away from your problems, away from your pain, away from your trouble, away from your trials, and get your eyes on the cross. Will you hear me for just a minute? You will never have real victory until you see that you need Jesus
more than you feel that you need what you lost. That you have more love for Jesus than the pain you feel over whatever heartache or whatever heartbreak you've got. I'm trying to quit. A good friend of mine, his son, a pastor, died at a very early age. And when I went to preach the funeral, the father-in-law of that boy got saved. God just played checkers and took that boy off the board and crowned him and saved another one, got another one in. And during that service, I was talking about how good God was. And the daddy got on his face and worshiped. And the mama just crossed her arms. And she told me, God's good, but he's good to everybody else. But he's not good to me. There's somebody today, you're sitting here thinking, because I'm telling this, I hadn't planned on it. God's good, yes he is. But he's not always good to me. It's how you feel. She left that funeral. We buried that boy out in the cemetery. And for 3 years, she quit going to the choir. For 3 years, she quit raising her hand. For 3 years, she became hit or miss to a church service. 3 years, she laid down her Bible. 3 years, she just started getting away from God. This is where this thing in your life is trying to hedge you. That's what it's aimed for, is to take you out. And one day, my friend called me and said, Preacher, you ain't going to believe it. I know you've been telling you, pray for my wife. She's become bitter, and she's become unfaithful to the house of God and the things of God. And she didn't want to hear me when I come home talking about church. She didn't want to talk about God. But when I came in today, in the back of our house, she was singing gospel songs as she was dusting. And then I heard the vacuum cleaner come on, and she was out singing the vacuum cleaner. And he said, I fell on my face in the front room and started worshiping God. And I went to the back when she cut the vacuum off. I said, honey, it's so good to hear you praising the Lord. What has happened? She said, this morning, I got to the place to where I needed Jesus more than I needed my boy. And I stopped blaming Jesus for my boy's with Jesus. Why should I be angry at Jesus? And if I'm going to go see my boy, I'm going to do it through Jesus. And I just figured out God is good all the time. And when you get close enough to the cross of Calvary, you'll see that it covers all your bitterness, all your disappointments, all your struggles. Calvary has covered it all. So appreciate the cross of Calvary and what he spared you from, because whatever that you experience today, however bad you think it is, it could have been a whole lot worse. Amen. You stand to your feet. Somebody come play this morning. I believe there's somebody here. You need to get in this altar today and you need to say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Because what a wretch I was, and Calvary has covered it all. I just want to thank you for the life that you gave on Calvary. The sinless Son of God, holy and harmless, his life for mine. What a Savior. And I want to worship him today. There may be somebody here, you need to bring to him your problem, your disappointment, your struggle, your issue, your difficulty. Won't you come today and say, Lord, I've just read in your word where Calvary covers it all. Whatever I face, whatever I experience, no matter whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's outward or inside, Calvary's covered it all. Lord, help me today to trust you with this, Lord. I lay this at Jesus' feet. He's nailing it to the cross of Calvary today. Father, how I thank you for your precious word and for your divine appointment upon the cross and your divine appointment with victory over death at an empty tomb. And this morning's divine appointment that God, you've sent folk right to the house of God today that needed to hear Calvary covers what they face. They need to be thankful. Oh yes, Lord. They've approached the throne of a Most High God. They've bowed the knee, humbled their lives in your sight and said, oh God, would you help me, Lord, today? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. And I'm so thankful that you've covered it all. No more will my past be brought up against me. Lord, I'll not have to answer for it anymore because Calvary has covered it all. Calvary has taken it away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if this future, if this church has future, if this church has hope, that hope, that future is in Jesus Christ. It'll have to be that we present Calvary to cover it all. Help us, Lord, then to live accordingly, that our Savior is alive and well, and His blood that was shed has covered all our sins. In this we rejoice, and in this we glory, and in this we give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
I'm going to ask you to be seated. I'm going to do something unusual. You can look at your clock. We're about right on your schedule. If your ball team was playing this morning, surely if they went to overtime, you'd stay to see if your team wins. Well, I believe Calvary's covered it all, and my team's going to win. And Miss Danielle, I feel led to ask you, I want you to come right up here this morning. You were singing before I preached, and I want you to be singing after I preach. Get her microphone. And I want you to sing about the cross this morning. Y'all's laying there for it. Amen.
Amen. See my Jesus on the cross, the papal crying, looking on a man you'd think, what tragedy, but what the world could not see when they nailed him to that tree. He would break the chains of sin and set men free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope came up for me. Of hatred, thorns of doubt were violently growing, and the pain that sin had caused was plain to see. But when the blood came streaming down that old cross where my Savior died for me, it broke the chains of sin and set me free. Love grew where the blood fell. Flowers of hope sprang up for me in misery. sin died, where the blood fell. I'm so glad His precious blood has covered me.
Sure.
We had some things stolen. And before yesterday, all I could think about was the value of what we lost. And yesterday, the Lord allowed me to run into a boy that I know that knew the guy that took the stuff. And this boy, he needs the Lord bad. I mean, he just needs the Lord. And I stood there beside his truck and I was talking to him. And after he pulled out, I looked down. And there in the gravel and the sand and the mess was this penny.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord convicted me about what I'd been thinking about. That don't matter. That don't matter. You know, we look at things as... Well, we put monetary values on things, and we look about what maybe we lose or what we think we lose or what happens to us. But the Lord convicted me about this boy's soul that I was talking to.
Yeah.
And I've got a burden for this boy. He needs the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord changed my heart.
Amen. Amen.
That stuff don't matter. It's all going to burn one day.
Yeah.
It's all going to be gone. But Jesus died for this boy's soul.
Amen.
And he's going to live forever somewhere.
Amen.
And you know that's what's important.
Amen.
So I reached out and picked this penny up. And now I've got a burden for this boy. Please pray for me.
Amen.
That I'll be able to be a witness or I can say something.
Amen.
Or do something.
Amen.
To make a difference in this boy's life. That
yes,
he'll
sir.
Accept the Lord as
Amen.
His Savior.
Amen.
Because that's all that matters.
Amen.
It don't matter what we lose or what we think we've lost or that stuff that don't matter. The devil wants us to think about stuff like that and wants us to focus on that to get our attention off of what really matters.
Yeah.
And what really matters is that boy's soul.
Yes, sir.
And where he's going to spend eternity.
Amen.
That's what counts.
Yes, sir.
Not what I lost this week. That's nothing. I mean, the Lord can give that back to me, and he's blessed me, and he's been so good to me, and I can't even complain about what I've lost. But I've got a burden for that boy this morning.
Amen.
And just pray for me that I can handle this right, and then I can show this boy the difference that the Lord's made in my life, and he needs the Lord, and that's all it really matters.
Amen. The Bible says, and such were some of you. Amen. We were the same way, but Calvary covered it all. Amen. I'll ask if you'll stand to your feet today. Father, Lord, I pray for the lost. God, that we come in contact with. Lord, would you help us to lead them to Christ by our words, by our deeds. Lord, would you help us, Father, to be an effective witness.
Yes.
Lord, this morning we're praying for them.
Yes.
Help us, God, I pray, to be able to testify to the goodness of God. And I want to thank you personally that Calvary has covered it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Don't forget, church, as we're... Yes?
The Lord's laid on me, on my heart, to sing a song.
All right,
grab my guitar.
Go get it. Go get it. If y'all need to leave, you can. This young man, God said, God's put a song on my heart today, and I've got to sing it. He's going to get his guitar and go get it. So if you want to stick around for overtime, double overtime, no telling what's liable to happen. Amen. Begin to think about those lost coins. I found a score of them myself just in the last few days. God's continuing to try to help us and get us involved and get us burdened about what's important to him. I hope you can be back tonight. Lord willing, we're going to preach on this thought as Jesus passed by. And I sure would like to hear Seth, you sing that song tonight, When Jesus Passes By. And I hope you could be here for the service tonight. I believe there'll be something in it that would help you this evening, something that would encourage you. And I certainly hope that you can be here. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Amen, son. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. Amen. 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 You know, overseas, they have a real lack of Bibles. What they do is they'll tear out pages or even cut into half pages, and you get a page, and you get a page, and you get a page, and you'll get a piece, and you'll get a corner. If all you got of a Bible was where it said, He delivered us. Calvary.